Hello and welcome to the SEI's podcast series from the Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. To learn more about the SEI, please visit our website at www.sei.cmu.edu. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website. My name is Shane McGraw, and today I am pleased to introduce you to Jim McHale and Felix Bachman, who are both currently senior members of the technical staff here at the Software Engineering Institute. Felix works in the Research, Technology, and System Solutions program on both architecture-centric engineering and product line practice initiatives. Jim works in the Software Engineering Process Management program on the TSP initiative. In today's podcast, Felix and Jim will be discussing a project in Mexico that they were both working on for Bolsa Mexicana de Valores. BMV is the Mexican stock market, and Bursatec is the IT arm that does both the development and the operations of the systems that run the Mexican financial markets. Welcome, Jim and Felix. Okay, Jim, we're going to start off with you, and Felix, feel free to chime in as we go along. If you could give us some of the background of the projects and how you guys became involved with Bursatec.
Okay, so as you mentioned, BMV is the Mexican stock market. Bursatec runs the financial trading markets, both the stock markets and the futures and options markets. And there are really three separate systems there. So back in early 2009, and probably before that even, they were recognizing that those systems were getting old. They were originally designed and implemented back in the 1980s, so they're really reaching the end of the life. They have to be replaced. The other thing that's been happening with the current financial markets worldwide is there's a lot more interest in Latin America in general as emerging markets. So the Mexican Stock Exchange has seen a huge increase over the last few years in their volume. So that, combined with the fact that the systems were older, led them to the conclusion they had to replace the system. So they did a build versus buy analysis and concluded that they would be better off building their own system from scratch, which was obviously going to have its own set of problems, partly because while they had been doing some new development work in Bursatec, they had not done a program of this magnitude, of this scope, since the original automation of the stock markets back in the 80s. And of course, the people who had done that were either gone, or a few of them are in senior management, but certainly not developers with current skills. So they had that problem. How do you put this system together? And fortunately for us, they came to the SEI for parts of that solution, which is the architecture practices combined with the team software process practices.
Now, this was the first time TSP and ACE was used together. So how did that come about? How did you know it was going to work? Or is this something that this was the pilot and now we know it works? And how did that all come about? And how confident were you that they would mix well?
Well, that's actually a good question here, how that came to be.
It definitely was the first time. So we did not have any evidence, any clear evidence that it actually will work together. It was just driven by the necessity to help that customer. We could not say you have to have either or. To be successful there really meant they have to use the architecture practice, because they had to implement their system from scratch. They had designed the system as well as having a mature, proven process to guide the developers in going through. So it was just a necessity that it had to be that way. Of course, we on our side, we're kind of like confident, since we never did it, but we're confident that it will work, no problem. Because if you look at both methods, they have the same goals. One from more the management perspective, so TSB, how you set it up, and the other, the ACE practice, more from the engineering perspective. But it's the goal to deliver the best possible system that there is under the given circumstances.
Yeah, and I also think that there was an element of the customer being fairly technically savvy and knowing a little bit about the architecture practices, I guess, from coursework, and reading the information they had available on the website, and I think being a little bit familiar with the Mexican initiative that we've had in the TSP over the last few years, and saying, well, why not? We can't see any reason these shouldn't work together. SEI, do you know of any reason? Of course, no.
Right.
We think they'll work together. So again, as Felix said, this is a great opportunity to get in and actually prove, we can play nice together.
Okay, so let's talk about challenges. I can imagine there was a lot kicking off this project. So can you talk about what were some of the challenges you faced and how you overcame them?
I guess the first one was just scheduling, because there are a lot of startup activities, including training, preparations for the quality attribute workshop on the architecture side. So just the sheer, getting the right people in the right place at the right time was the first one. That's usually enough of a problem, when you're just starting, say, a TSP initiative. Trying to do all the startup on two initiatives was challenging at times, I'd say, Felix.
Jim, that was correct. So get that everything going there. And, also under that, the context that from the client side here, BursaTech, since they didn't really build a project like that, there was also not a clear idea of what the overall schedule would look like. So on one side, that helped us a little bit, so we had a little bit more flexibility. But on the other side, also, there was no framework that we could lean on, so we really had to go through everything.
Right, and talk about the environment you're in. You're not building an e-commerce site here. You're in the financial market, building a system that is extremely important, I would imagine. Did that...
This is the Mexican stock market. If you're going to trade securities in Mexico, you're doing it here. I guess they've gotten over 1 million trades a day in terms of volume, just since the beginning of this project. They've gone over that benchmark, which was, I think, about the upper limit of what the original system was built to do. So they're running at capacity right now. So you have that pressure added.
Absolutely. Felix, can you tell us a little bit about the software engineer work and the role that ACE played in that?
Right, yeah. First of all, just to make the context clear here, as Jim already said a little bit, there was not a lot of experience with the people on how to do those kind of work. And that also meant in BursaTech, they set up an architecture team which actually consists out of four people, tasked with the job to do all the architecture work for that system. But from those four architects, there was actually only one who I would consider to be kind of like a senior architect, who could trust, can do this kind of work. The other three developers were kind of like very good developers, but junior. So they didn't really have the training and the knowledge of how to tackle a system like this. So that's why from the very beginning we decided to, instead of just teaching them, we really need to coach them. To take care of that lack of knowledge, lack of skills, to help them going through. What we also saw is that it was not just one method, one of the ACE methods that they needed. They actually needed the whole package. So meaning designing a system means you have to have an understanding of your quality attribute scenarios. We have the quality attribute workshop to get those scenarios from the stakeholders. You have to know how to transform those quality attribute scenarios into a design. You have to know how to write down, how you document that design, so you can actually communicate that to anyone who is interested in there. And of course, you have to check, you have to test the design, if the design really will fulfill. So they needed the whole package. They need a set of all those our methods combined in such a way that it helps in their environment that they were there. So the way how we did that was we started with a quality attribute workshop to get an idea what the important quality attribute scenarios were. And of course, not surprisingly, the most important ones, the performance and the availability. The system has to be available. So very high requirements here in terms of the amount of orders that go through the system. And of course, it has to be available when the stock market is open. So there can nothing be there. So that was the initial one. And then we sat down with the architects and repeated a two-week cycle. So in every two-week cycle, we told them they take one of the scenarios. And at the beginning of that cycle, we had a little brainstorming session to go through what are the possible solutions, how can you tackle that scenario, to have some ideas of what to go for. And then the team was sitting down for 2 weeks and coming up with a design. And after 2 weeks, we came back again and reviewed there. So at that review, which is using all the ATOM techniques that we have at the SCI, they had to really make the case why their proposed solution that they have will actually support the performance, the availability requirements. And going through those cycles every 2 weeks helped those young architects very quickly to learn what's important when you do an architectural design. So they could focus, they could tackle the problem, they start thinking in terms of risks. So when I do this, here are the risks that I have to take care of. How would I do that? So going through that process very, very quickly every 2 weeks was a tremendous help. So we helped them also setting up the whole infrastructure, development infrastructure, the tool support, the processes, the documentation guidelines, and anything there.
Yeah, Felix, there are a couple things there that you mentioned that I think was sort of the start of the happy circumstances for us. The first one is coaching. The whole paradigm of coaching really is central to the way TSP works. I'm a TSP coach. I don't think there was really that idea within the architecture group that coaching is a way to really accelerate the learning for a group of young developers and turn them into architects. But again, it was very familiar to me. All I had to do was keep my hands off of the technical pieces and concentrate, as a good coach should be doing, on the team management aspect.
And is this happening at the same time as the quality attribute workshops going on? Is TSP being introduced?
Actually, the week of the quality attribute workshop was the same week we were doing PSP training with the developers. So, and then the next week we launched the team. We did the initial launch of the team. So that was an interesting experience, just in terms of how much we were throwing at the organization.
Sure.
In a very short period of time.
Yeah, there was this one interesting episode that we had. It was about toward the end of the second iteration. It was about 10 weeks into the architectural design, where we were almost at that point where we are ready to give up. Because, as you can imagine, on one side, there is a deadline, there is time pressure there, that the system, the architecture has to be in a fairly mature state at a certain time. And on the other side, we have those three young architects there that need to learn, which also takes time. And at the beginning, as you can imagine, there was not a lot of progress visible. But I remember that was, that was before Christmas. Well, it was after Christmas here in Pittsburgh, so Pittsburgh was snowing. And the,
of course, yes.
The team, team was here. And In that time, something amazing must have happened. Because now, all of a sudden, when they were there, and I said, towards the end of the second iteration, everyone of the team members started to get it, to get a feel of what it is that need to be done, how to focus, what kind of work to do. So after that week that was they stay here in Pittsburgh, I was a happy camper again. They saw what can we do, and actually all the time lag that we had, they were actually being able to recover. So they worked hard over Christmas, over New Year, didn't take a break. Took care of all the lack of information missing, and then we're on track going forward.
Yeah, Felix, I'm glad you never told me that you were near giving up. I knew that you were not happy, but from my point of view, just looking at the data that the team was generating, I could tell that they were putting in the effort. I mean, it was clear that they were going through, and it was also clear to me that Felix wasn't happy. But then we had, as you mentioned, the Christmas break, and you will see that a lot of times, especially with new teams, younger teams, that they will go in, they will beat their head against the wall, and you think they're never going to get through, and then something happens, or maybe something doesn't happen. They have some kind of a break, and oh, now they get it. The light bulb goes on. So I've seen that happen before. I don't know that I've seen it quite in this way. Of course, I don't know that we've had this critical project in the hands of extremely junior developers from my state. I think I did the calculation once. The average age of the team overall, both architects and developers, was under 30. And I think it's now gone over 30. We're about 18 months into this. So again, as you mentioned, a very young team with a lot of responsibility on them.
Yep. But again, just to add to that, Jim, it's just for us, one of the lessons learned, clearly were that given the right environment, being able to set up the right infrastructure, right, the right process, the right framework, the right goals for the team actually also makes a not that experienced team being successful.
Right. That's to my mind, that's one of the advantages to having defined processes in place. And people that really had a little bit of training in how to use a defined process and keep track of the data, it actually gave them a little bit of feedback outside of the architectural world, just that, okay, we know we're working on the right things in the right order. Okay, even though the architecture coach might not be that happy, we know we're sort of grinding through and that we'll get there. It's one of the rewarding parts of my job is to be able to see this happen really in a lot of different environments, a lot of different people, different cultures even, and in a wide range of applications, of domains, is the idea that process has value beyond. Yeah. If I really want to drive Felix and some of the architecture guys crazy, I'll talk about, the architecture group has really elegant processes in place for doing this work. They don't necessarily want to call it that, but I consider it a process for a very specific purpose, and that's architecture.
Yes. Experience shows that, building and designing the architecture of a system to fulfill the goals is not something that you take a shower and you have the great idea, which happens every now and then. So I don't want to say you don't need that.
Yeah.
But fact is that probably 90% of the work is just hard work. There is a process you have to go through, you have to write down, you have to get all the knowledge, you have to check and check and check and check to come up to the right. It's just work.
Yeah, the old idea of 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration.
Yeah, for the architects, I may say 10% inspiration,
okay,
and 90%.
Fair enough. I'll take the 90s.
Okay.
Jim, just to clarify something you said earlier, for anybody new to the SEI, you had mentioned PSP,
right,
and TSP. Can you talk a little bit about PSP is?
So PSP, personal software process, is really the training for the team software process. It's taking the ideas of defined processes and measuring that down to the individual level. And I think one thing that we've really demonstrated over the years is that software is very amenable to this approach. You know, we've trained several thousand people in personal software process. It gives you an effective feedback loop on yourself. You know, it's not dependent on anyone else. Yes, it can be helpful to have an instructor or a coach to help you along the way. But the idea is for behind PSP is you're installing your own measurement system, your own feedback mechanism, so that you can learn and get better as time goes on.
Excellent. So we'll move it now to the design of the system. And obviously, there is lots of design methods out there. The SEI has our own, and that's what we're going to talk about. So let's talk a little bit about the work that went into designing the system. Where did you start?
Well, yeah. Let me say one thing first. So over the years, at the SEI, so it's probably now 15, 20 years there, we learned that when it comes to designing a system, the one thing that is really important to understand are the quality attribute requirement. It is not that much the function that the system should have. The structure, the architecture of a system really depends on how well those functions can be done. So how fast, how easy it is to change them, how secure they are, how available it is, and so on. So that's the important piece. Because of this, we also say you can only start in designing a system when you have an idea what your important quality attribute requirements are, which is one of the things that all the requirements elicitation method lack a little bit, because the main goal there is to get a catalog of all the functions the system has to have, which is necessary and needed. But it's not the complete picture. The quality attributes come in there. And the second step is now, since we acknowledge that designing a system means trying to achieve the quality attribute requirements, then of course you need to have a design method that does exactly this, focusing on the quality attributes and designing in such a way that it actually fulfills those requirements. And I have to admit, to my knowledge, although in the community it is acknowledged that designing system means achieving the quality attributes, in most of the cases the methods then, after the acknowledgement, ignore the quality attributes and do something like function decomposition, which is probably the most popular method out there.
Stories if you're doing agile.
Those things. And they focus on the function of the quality attributes anymore. So to our knowledge, as you said, John, that we have our own method, which is ADD, the attribute-driven design. And that's the only method that I know that is actually taking the quality attribute requirements and transforming them into a design that will then actually fulfill those requirements. And if you have the structure, then of course the functional requirements become important, and you need to fill the structure with those functions. We also, in that example that we talk about here in BursaTech, we can see a clear example of how that actually worked. Because at that point, when we started the architecture activities, the requirements phase was not finished. They were just, of course, had some idea. The system has to do whatever the old system did. But all the new requirements, we were just in the middle of trying to find them out. But you couldn't wait, because then definitely the deadline would be not achievable. So the only thing we had to do is have the quality attribute workshop to get an understanding of those requirements. And then let the other requirement elicitation move on. Doesn't really matter, and we could do the architecture design. There was only one requirement that came, I think, probably 3 months in, which had a little bit of an impact in the architecture. Not a lot, so it took about a week to fix the architecture to accommodate that requirement. So we have a clear evidence, you know, that that is actually true. You don't have to wait until you're done with the
requirements. Actually, just watching what happened with the team, because really the requirements changed throughout the project, and today they're working on additional requirements that they accepted. They were actually supposed to finish this week as we record this, but they've accepted additional requirements, and it's really a matter of using the architecture to interpret the requirements and figure out, okay, this is where these are going to live within the architecture. And it's made it a very straightforward exercise for them to figure out, both from a technical point of view, where do they live, how do we implement them, and from a management point of view, how long is it going to take? You know, what resources do we have to bring to bear on this, and when's it going to be done? So, you know, what I've been telling people lately is that this is one of the most boring larger projects I've worked on, from the point of view of, we haven't had any major schedule crises. Now, part of that is the customer recognizing, you know, this is a critically important project. They haven't messed with the resources. But even given that, and especially given some of the other challenges that we've talked about, there haven't been any of those big, you know, management meetings where everything's in a shambles. We just never went there. You know, the architecture helped guide the project structure. The project structure helped, you know, keep things on track so that when, you know, a requirement did come up that had some architectural impact, there was no panic. There was no thought of anything other than, well, we're going to follow the process and everything will be fine. And it turns out it was fine.
How long are these systems up? You have the new system, the old system. Are they both run at the same time, or when do you need to take the old system down?
Okay, so that's one of the interesting things that's going to be happening over the next few months. So, you know, as we sit here, the project is actually very close to the end. This is literally the week that it was scheduled to finish. They were on track for that and accepted additional requirements. They'll finish probably the middle of July now.
And that was going to be my last question. When is this wrapping up?
The development phase should be formally finished. In fact, I'm scheduled to make sort of a final closeout trip for the development stage in another couple of weeks here. You know, get the team's final data so that we can do that analysis and put together a formal report. But, you know, basically the system is already working and has been for several months, and they are, you know, implementing the last few functions that they need. They're now beginning to figure out, okay, how are we going to test with the other pieces of the system? You know, we're working on the main trading engine, but there are other functions that have to happen and work with the new system, as well as deal with some of the aspects of the older system that will still be in place.
Excellent. Thank you guys very much for joining us today to take the time.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us. This recording and a downloadable transcript are available on sei.cmu.edu/podcasts. If you have any questions, please email us at info@sei.cmu.edu.